the power of salvation, the healing for all nations.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Sunday. How's everybody doing today? That's good. All right. Praise God. You guys had breakfast. I didn't. Not. Would everybody please stand to their feet? I know Pastor does it later. I'm sorry, but can you give somebody a big hug and say, so happy to see you in church?
So happy.
So happy to see you in church. Come on, give him a big hug. In the Spanish church, this could go on for 30 minutes. So I always got to be like, all right, people, come on. We start talking about life in their country. And
got several things I want to call your attention to today. Immediately following our service, Beverly Bray's hosting lunch for us over in the fellowship hall. Let's give her a hand. She's going to be departing soon for Texas. She's going to disciple her son and daughter-in-law. And as soon as they're disciples, she'll be right back. So we'll see how long that takes. And there's a couple of things. For our seniors, we've got a senior outing coming up, a senior trip. There's a flyer for that. It's September 4th on a Thursday. We're going over to the Sheriff Department's Youth Ranch Camp, and they're hosting lunch for us. They're going to provide lunch, a tour, a virtual tour with their videos and a physical tour. And then we'll be coming back. Great time of fellowship. We'll take the church van and probably a couple of cars. And so I want to encourage you to sign up for that or call the office if you intend to go. It's $10 a person if you're traveling with us, just to cover our gas and expenses. And that information's there, so take that and avail yourself of it. I want you to be in a prayer. As you know, we're starting back our Wednesday nights again. We're having dinner and a devotion. And Jody Briggs is going to be cooking a dinner for us. Let's give the Lord a hand. We know for a fact that dropping the pizzas down on a table did not work very well. That y'all are not that excited about pizza, but this will be a cooked meal, salad bar, desserts, all that, the drinks and everything, very reasonable, and want to encourage you to come take part in that. And then we'll have a devotion. We'll do a Bible study together and study the Word, get in the Word together. So midweek time. I've had people in the last year or two say, you know, they're looking for services because they work on Sundays and they're looking for off-night services. And this can be an opportunity if you want to invite them to come and be your guest for dinner and then a Bible study. And this will be kind of a mini service, a midweek service for us as well, prayer and scripture. And then Awana's, praise God, Mark and Carol Hennebach have extended their leadership. Let's give them a giant hand. And they are looking for workers still. And so all of you who've worked in the past, please sign up for another tour of duty. And but we do need some more workers. And so if you'd be interested, just see Mark after the service, come by and speak to him, or call us at the office this week and let us know. And then next Saturday is our concealed weapons class, and would like to encourage you to take part in that. It's $35 if you're going to seek the certification. That includes range time. We'll be going to Port Mayaca to shoot with a deputy sheriff who'll be our instructor. It's a two-hour instruction in the fellowship hall next Saturday, and then after that we leave and go over for shooting. If you do that, you can audit the class for $15. Lunch is included for auditing or participation for certification. So want to encourage you to do that. And then our 100 days of prayer, we'd still like to encourage you to sign up and say, I'll take a couple of time frames. We'd like to encourage you to pray every day for these prayer requests and others, just praying for the life of our church as we celebrate 100 years of ministry here on the Treasure Coast. Pool party coming up for the youth at the Lamsons, and so we praise the Lord for that. And that'll be coming up Thursday. And if you would be in prayer for that as well, we'd like to encourage you to take part in our life groups. And then if you're our guest today, we want to invite you to just tear off this flyer and stick it in the offering when it comes by so we can get to know you. And then Patriot drinks will be available over in the Welcome Center immediately following the fundraiser for our church. So I want to encourage you to go and refresh yourself with some nice, cool, rehydrating drinks, and that'll be a blessing for you as well. And praise the Lord, privilege to be your pastor. I've never been prouder. We had a work day, several this week, but yesterday, and in fact, I've got an illustration in the message from it that I'm going to share with you, but so excited about these folks. If you worked yesterday, if you showed up, or this week, if you showed up for our work days, would you stand right now? And let's give them a great big hand. If you can stand. Okay, thank you. We love y'all. Praise God for you. We had our environmental consultant come by and look at the work that's being done. And he was flabbergasted. He said that our volunteers are doing one of the best jobs he's seen in years. And so we praise the Lord for that and attempting to glorify God in it. And I've been trying to disciple our folks just to say, we're not doing this for Martin County. We're not doing it for the state of Florida. We're doing it for Jesus. And amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Amen. Amen. God bless. Good morning. There goes a little dolphin. Little dolphin fan. So as you know, we're looking at humility from one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, Philippians 2, the kenosis chapter where Jesus emptied himself out and took on the form of a man and yet was 100% God, 100% man. There's an interesting passage that we're all familiar with, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And here we see God saying this. Now, we don't see it in the English translation, but the name for God there is Elohim. And Elohim, that name of God, is a plural. The I am in Hebrew is like an S in our English language when we put an S on something to make it plural. And El is the shortest version of the name of God, El. El Shaddai, Elohim, and so forth. And so We see that this particular term's used here, so God, and it's called the plurality of majesty, but it also carries with it the connotation of the Trinity. Let us make man in our image. We see plurality in that, as God says that. Who is the us? And who is the we? And who is that plural? It's not the angels in heaven. We're not made in the image of angels. In fact, they marvel at us. And I don't know why, if they get to know us, but they marvel at us. And we see that when they look at us, they're amazed. And because we are in that image of God, we're made with that God-like aspect to us that God has placed in us in his image. Now, when we think about his image, does that mean that if you're a woman, that God's got long hair? Does that mean that if you're a man, you know, that you've got big biceps and God's got big arms and he's got hands and he's got feet? Now, in Scripture, there's what's called anthropomorphic terminology, where it's the idea is that God is describing himself in human form or in human images. Like, for instance, when Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock and it said God covered him with his hand. It doesn't mean this King Kong size hand came over Moses on the side of the cliff. And when we look at it, how are we in the image of God? We're in the image of God because we are tripartite. We're three parts. All human beings have three aspects to their existence. We have our body, which is the physical aspect, and then we have our soul, which is our will, our volitional aspect. And then we have our spirit, which relates to the spiritual aspect of God. So in each case, each one of us are a picture of the triune God in our existence. Because God is will and determination and volition, God the Father. God the Son is physical. He has now a human body for the last 2,000 years, but he even appeared in Christophanies in the Old Testament, where he appeared as a human with a human look. You know, there's three in the furnace, and the fourth is like the Son of God. And so there's the appearances of Christ that way. He's the physical. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is the spiritual aspect. Now, when you get into the soul is comprised of three aspects. Now, you may say, well, why don't you prove from Scripture that we're three parts? I'm glad you asked that, and I'm going to. I'd love to do that. So if you've got your Bible in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, if you want to memorize a great verse, this is one of the great verses to memorize. In Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So here in this verse, it talks about the existence of a soul and a spirit. And then it also says bone and marrow, which is the physical. So we have the tripartite of human beings right here in this verse, saying this sharp, razor sharp word of God is able to divide asunder. It's so surgical. It's more than laser, and it can divide the immaterial, our soul and our spirit. So we have those two aspects in our life, each of us, and we're going to look primarily at those three, but we will look at the spiritual aspect folded into it. But we see that in this soul and spirit. Now, what is the difference between, and most people get them confused. Most people mix them up. You know, they're not sure one way or the other. Our spirit is actually that God-like cavity in all of our lives. All of us are born on earth, every one of us, me, you, all of us, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, we were all born with a dead spirit. And that's why when Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit in the garden, God said, the day you eat of it, you're going to die. You will surely die. Now, it's interesting, if you look at the genealogies, they lived hundreds of years, physical years on earth, hundreds. They lived centuries past the fruit. So, was God wrong? No. The day they ate of that fruit, their spirits died. And their communion with God on the spiritual plane was broken off. We see that indicated when God comes into the garden like he did every day to talk to. He created us to fellowship with him. He created us to have a relationship with us. And he comes into the garden and he's looking and they're hiding. And they're covering their nakedness with leaves, you know. Our guys were covered with leaves yesterday at the farm, but not to hide nakedness. It was just raining on them. Leaves were raining on them. But Adam and Eve were hiding, and, you know, and God didn't have to ask any questions. He knows everything. Those are tools he uses to bring conviction. Where are you? You know, why are you hiding? You know, we were naked and covered ourselves. Well, like, who told you that? The day before, you were in innocence and you could care less. And then you fell, and now this guilt came in and this separation. Their spirits died. And that's why the Bible says, and Jesus said, we all need to be born again. Because the first birth, we're still born spiritually. So we need that second birth to bring about. That's why no one will see God unless they're born again. No one on earth. Now, this morning I was kind of, before I came to church, I was watching a couple of video YouTubes, and one of them was AI examining the Shroud of Turin. And this is, with that super quantum calculating ability, AI saw things in the shroud that none of the researchers have been even possibly able to see. This is a new breakthrough, just happened. And they said that the shroud actually, and the radiation that came out of Christ, has embedded in the cloth these, the equivalent of UPC codes, this computer information, and that across the chest area, where Christ was laying in the shroud, it says, I am the life and the resurrection. And then across the bottom, it says, and it's there in actual computer language and in other languages, I am the resurrection. And so, we see at that point that when Jesus was resurrected, that he made it possible for all of our dead spirits to resurrect. Now, where I'm leading to this is in our passage, we're going to look at verse 2 in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to see these divisions within it. Now, soul and spirit. The spirit is dead. The soul is divided into three categories for our understanding, and it's the mind, will, and emotions. The mind, will, and emotions. And so our soul is our mind. Our mind is not just this piece of ham that's in our skull physically. That's a brain, but that's not our mind. Our mind is immaterial and has a different nature to it. And it's more than electronic impulses. And so there's our mind, and then our will is our decision-making, our volition. Our whole life, you're here today because of your will. You're here today because you made volitional decisions to be here, to hear the Word of God, to prioritize this. And our will directs our life. Our will is the sum total of all our decisions. And all our decisions are affected by various things around us. And then there's our emotions. And our emotions follow our mind and our will. When you make good choices and have a clear conscience, then you will have high, joyous emotions. When you make selfish decisions and bad decisions, and you compound bad decisions in your life, your emotions will go down. You will find anger, frustration, depression. And these things meet together in our soul. Now, if you got your Bible, let's look at Philippians verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 we covered last week. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. So it's kind of a question leading up to the next verse. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. We see here four things that produce joy. They produce joy in the Apostle Paul. They will produce joy in our life. And these are preconditions to a state of humility, to the development of humility in our life. So when we look at this, we see, first of all, he says, make my joy complete by having or being of the same mind. Now, that means that you and I share the same values. We share the same world, biblical view, the same mind. That means we look at things a similar way. That doesn't mean that there's a uniformity, that we're all robots thinking the exact same thing. It doesn't mean that we can't have differences of opinion. But what it means is our mind, our general mind, our category of thoughts, that we share it together. We do that here. We come here to worship the Lord Jesus as the King of King and Lord of Lords, not Allah. You know, not the general force of pantheism, not some of these other things. We not here to become our own gods like in Hinduism. We're here because we share the same mind about Christ and about his purpose. We're here also because you believe in evangelism. You believe in winning the world to Christ. You believe that lost people need to be saved. And you believe we share other things that you believe, like I believe, that this is the inspired word of God. We're not a liberal church. They would have a different mind. They would say, let's look for the doubts and let's look for the errors. And they place themselves in judgment over the Bible. They're the judges of the Bible to judge where the Bible's wrong. One of our great presidents, Jimmy Draper, said, that is a tremendous slide. Once you start that, it never ends because you're throwing away the authority of Scripture. So we have the same mind about that. We share that mind together, and it's a part of our makeup. And we see that also in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 27, if you'll look there with me, we see a similar thought with this. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm. How? How are we standing firm? In one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One mind saying, Jesus is number one. Jesus and his death, the substitutionary death, is the most important thing to us. And we share that. And we share that in our one mind. We see also in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 29, He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. And again, the idea that we're the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the bridegroom, and that produces tremendous joy in our life. Joyful humility comes from sharing the same mind together. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this sharing together. In chapter 4, verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Now, it'd be interesting. Here's these two women. I picture them older because of their names, but these two women that were in the church, the Philippian church, and they were fighting with each other, and they were at odds with each other, and they were differing with each other. And so it was to such a point that the Holy Spirit put their names in Scripture, and for 2,000 years, billions of Christians have come to know these two women, and they'll be in heaven, Euodia and Syntyche, and, you know, go up, hey, Euodia, you were odious on earth. You really stunk it up, you know, but you made it, you know, that they are to live in harmony. And God, the Spirit of God is saying, you two girls have one mind. You know, get together over the great, great things of Christ and serve him. And we see this aspect of sharing the same mind. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And this is the idea again that you and I are to have the same mind by being lowly of heart, by being open to serving and helping others, and the idea of encouraging the work of Christ. Wherever you see anyone preaching the gospel, encourage them. Get behind them. Help them. Strengthen them. Next, we see that joyful humility comes from sharing the same love. And, of course, we looked at the first verse here in chapter 2 last week, talking about the love of God in our hearts and lives and how this love is a precursor to humility, the same love that we love each other. I know for some of you that now your family on earth is sitting right here in this fellowship or in your life group. And I know for some of you that the love that you experience here is so vital to you. It's so vital to your walk, your relationship with Christ. We're to share that love and increase in our love for one another. And we see that in this verse where he says, again in verse 2, and being of the same mind and then maintaining the same love. In chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we see another reference to this where he says, for God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Our love in Christ for each other. And it's an exciting thing. I mean, when we've been on our mission trips, to experience the love of brothers and sisters in Christ from all over the world. And it's amazing how it's the same. It feels the same. My first mission trip when I was a baby Christian was to Guatemala. And I remember we were in this mountain village after the earthquakes there. And we went, and there was this young couple, a radiant young Guatemalan couple. And they lived in a little thatch house that they had built, a dirt floor, and everything they owned, we saw it as soon as we walked up on them and walked in. They had a machete, and that was their main tool. They were cooking on a piece of tin, and that was the main cooking pot and all they had. They had some little thatch mats that they slept on the ground. And then they would go and gather food, hunt for food, and that was about it. But I'll never forget, as a baby Christian, when I was 18 years old, encountering this couple and the love that we could feel from them, that I could feel from them, and the joy of Christ in this earthly world. They had nothing, but in Christ they had everything. And the love of God that you sense when we've gone to these different parts of the world, India and Haiti and all of these different places, the North Woods of Canada with believer American Indians or North American Indians, and the love of God pouring out of their life. And we see that He wants us to have this same love for each other. If you don't love, you need to start questioning your salvation. It's one of the evidences in 1 John. If anyone says that they love God and they hate their brother, they are a liar and the truth isn't in them. And so we see here that joyful humility comes from sharing the love of God, the love of Christ that He installs in us. Thirdly, joyful humility, I've got humidity on the brain. Go to the farm tomorrow, you'll get humidity. Joyful humility comes from sharing the same spirit. Sharing the same spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The older you get in Christ and the more you work at trying to hear Him, obey Him, know Him, walk with Him, the more you become discerning with other people. And you get to a point when you say, I wonder if that person really knows Christ or not. I wonder if they're really born again. I wonder if the Holy Spirit of God is living in them. And you begin to pray for them and intercede for them. Lord, please move on their life. We're to share the same spirit. And initially it's the Holy Spirit, but it's also our personal spirit. And you know, I mean, if you travel, every time Kim and I go on vacation, we visit churches and we worship on Sunday somewhere. And when we go in, we can tell immediately if we can sense fellowship or not and sense the Spirit of God. I mean, there's some places we went and we kind of like, I can't wait till this is over. Got to get out of here. And then there's other places, oh, I wish it would go all afternoon. Well, not really. We want to go to lunch. But still, you know, you sense the Spirit of God in the same spirit. We see again Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. God providing us with His Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, joyful humility comes from sharing the same purpose. The same purpose. And we see that in the end of our passage, where he says, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Now, to me, that was a joy this week with our work days and going and seeing our volunteers. And some of them are kind of long in the tooth. We've got some older volunteers. And I'll see guys dragging limbs or swinging a weed eater or whatever that are having trouble sometimes standing up. You know, you're swinging the weed eater and you got to set it down to keep from falling over sideways. But the spirit of these guys and the unity of purpose, it's incredible. No complaining. Everybody working hard. Everybody looking out for each other. I mean, to me, that is the joy of serving Christ with these type things. Disaster relief, mission trips, you know, these domestic mission trips in the United States, working at the farm together, these different things, is that purpose. Everybody, we're doing this together. There's teamwork. I know because I played college sports and high school sports that when that all ended, the thing I missed most was my teammates and our purpose together, working our heads off to win, to face the opponent. And this is the idea here where he says that we share one purpose. Now, I want to encourage you, if you ever join a church or you, God moves you with your job or whatever, your kids, you have to move close to them or whatever, I want to encourage you, if you go to a church and you don't like it, you don't like the pastor, you don't like what's going on there, leave. Leave it. Don't stay and be a thorn in the flesh of others. Don't be leaven in the dough. Be excited. Don't replace exclamation points with question marks. In any ministry. Now, I've got convictions about different types of theology. If Kim and I ever move to another area in our life and we go to a church and I go to the church and it's a charismatic church, I don't hold to the ecstatic utterances and that. And I have a different understanding from Scripture as most evangelicals do. If I go to that church, that charismatic church, and they say, well, you taught the Bible for 35, 40 years, will you teach one of our classes? And I say, okay, and I take the class at the charismatic church. And then I start in 1 Corinthians 13, 14, 14, and I say, you know, y'all have a bunch of people popping up speaking in static utterances. And here in Scripture, it says one at a time, three at the most, no women. Most of those that I've seen doing it have been women, you know. Y'all got to stop this. Well, I'm the heretic. That is their church. That is their beliefs. So I need to step back and say, I need to go to an evangelical church that holds to my beliefs. Years ago, we had a hyper-Calvinist young couple come to the church, and they were in one of our classes and our life group classes, and they were interacting. And at that time, we licensed six young men into the ministry. Well, the young guy of this couple saw that, and he said, I want Pastor Orman to license me into the ministry. But he said, I don't like his invitations, this easy believism, you know, this always given this invitation. I don't like this sinner's prayer practice. And that, you know, I believe God elects his elect and they get saved no matter what. And he was talking to one of our deacons. And the deacon said to him, let my wife and I take y'all out to lunch. So they went out to lunch. And he said, we are a Southern Baptist church, and our pastor, by his own admission, says that he's a Calminian. He's half and half. He's in the middle. And you are a hyper-Calvinist. That is more of a Presbyterian position. Why don't you leave our church, go find a good Calvinistic Presbyterian church and join it? I could have kissed him on the mouth. I'm teasing, but I was so grateful for his biblical stance. And this is the idea in relationship to us in serving Christ with one purpose, where our purpose is we want to serve Jesus together. We want to win the world to Christ. We want to disciple people to be Christ-like and to walk in humility. And we see in this verse, in this passage, these things that correlate to the aspects of our life. First of all, he says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. So here you have the soul and the mind of the soul. And then of the same love, you have the emotions of the mind, will, and emotions. And then intent on purpose, you have the will. And so here you see the mind, the will, and the emotions in this passage as he's talking about us and serving Christ. I don't want you to hang up on that kiss on the mouth thing, okay? I don't have an inkling of that in my life. But we see in this passage that he tells us that a joyful humility comes into our life when we walk together, when we love together, when we walk in the same spirit, when we have the same purpose in serving Christ. And the only way we can do that is by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into our life as our Lord and Savior. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed today, I'd like to ask you, have you received God into your life? Have you received the presence of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, in your soul, in your life? If you haven't, he's standing here right now knocking at your heart's door. And he wants you to know him. He wants you to receive him. And so I'd like to ask you right now, if you would, to just pray this prayer with me and say, dear Lord, please come into my life and forgive my sins and cleanse me. Live in my life. Almighty God, resurrect my dead spirit and live through me by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I love you and I'll live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and want you to do business with God this morning. And however he's speaking to your heart. Last week, Haley came forward and said, I need to be baptized. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you about baptism. Maybe you have a prayer request, something for us to pray for you about. Maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart about being a part of this local New Testament church. We'd like to invite you to respond today. Let's stand together and sing, and you come. Okay, thank you, Dee. Let's pray for Christopher. And thank you, Dee. Mike Dowdy, can you come forward? Mike is our environmental supervisor for the property for this wetland project, and I'm really proud of him, all the hard work and everything he's doing. And you want to just bring us an update real quick and then dismiss us in prayer.
Definitely.
Oh, and also pray for the luncheon next door.
Okay. Definitely. We want to thank each and everybody that's come out to help out. We are trying to eat an elephant. So far, I think we've eaten a ear. So we're trying to come out a little bit earlier. I know we say from 9 or 8. If you can come in around, if you can come out and volunteer, even if it's for an hour, hour and a half, just some help out there. If you cannot physically come out and help, if you could buy a case of the Patriot drinks so we could have that extra energy out there, that would be helping the project also. Kenny's been very well. He's been bringing his four-wheel drive out truck out there and help pulling stuff, which has been a great, great help. We need all the help we can. Like I said, even if you're only able to give us an hour or two, we're not working all day. We can't physically do that all day. But any help you can give us, like I said, if it's as far as possibly getting us some energy drinks, it would help. Our equipment is really good right now. We've been able to get enough chainsaws, and through Kenny, we've have all these this different cables and stuff that we're using to drag the stuff out. Later on, as we get ready to do some burning, if you can come out and just watch a fire with a bucket of water so that we don't get that. We're not quite to that point yet. We're going to start building up some some burn piles, but it's even just simple like that. If you could come out 3 or 4 hours, bring a chair and just watch the fire burn, just so we have some safety there. Any help we can get to get this project done is going to be a blessing. We're not doing, like he said, we are not doing this for the county. We're doing this for our property, which is God's.
With that, I humbly come to God with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we just thank you for everything that you give us. Lord, we thank you for the property that you've bestowed us, that we're going to be able to worship you in a greater capacity. And Lord, we just thank all the volunteers that have come out to help. Lord, we thank you for the safety. We've had some dangerous situations that have we've been able to keep safe. Lord, we just ask that you keep us nourished with your strength. And Lord, we just ask that you'd be with Miss Beverly today, with her, not goodbye, just her time that she's going to be leaving to help her family. Lord, we just ask that you would bless each one of those that are going out there to help her. Lord, we just bless that you'd bless the food that would nourish our bodies. Lord, we ask that you would lay your healing hands on anyone here that's got ailments, or that you would lay your healing hand on, because you're the greatest healer that we know. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, honors and AP middle school program, and high school dual enrollment. Our STRIVE program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. STRIVE offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible Studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible. And how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other. And Sunday morning Life Group Bible Study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult Life Group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this Life Group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our Life Group Bible Studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have Life Group Studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message, and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.